Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
A midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Titans and Ravens this Sunday. We are here to prepare you for kickoff. Dean Pease joins us in roughly 15 minutes. And then it's the Ball Quest Hour, where Austin Price and Brent Hubbs get you ready for the Balls and the Tigers. Tennessee and Auburn tomorrow night. You can hear that game, both games, right here on 104.5 The Zone on Saturday and Sunday. Crew is all here today. PK via Zoom, and David Reed is the chairman of the board.
We are celebrating an anniversary today on the Midday 180. On November 20th, 2018, 2 years ago, we sent out this tweet. Our at Paul Kuharski NFL got hung up on by Texans head coach Bill O'Brien in a conference call today. We will play it for at McLean on NFL when we come back.
Wow.
Paul, how will you be celebrating this anniversary?
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a big party over here. Simon's going to lift his cast up, his neon yellow green cast, and salute everyone in the house.
Let the record show that only one member of that exchange still has their same job. So, Paul, you win in that regard. Congratulations.
Well, and the story, the premise of your question was accurate, was it not?
It was accurate.
Even though he was pretending like he didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, he had no idea what I was
talking
about.
Who is this?
Who is this guy?
Huh?
This is Paul Kuharski in Nashville.
Rick Smith did a great job picking Deshaun Watson.
Yes. We'll have that a bit later in the show. Maybe we can go down memory lane.
No, no need.
No, absolutely.
No, we're going to do that.
I shouldn't have said anything. I don't want it, the more you want it.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
These headphones come off over here. They can be removed.
Are we going to see Adoree Jackson anytime soon?
Not this week.
So there's clearly been a setback because he was practicing.
Absolutely.
He was practicing as they elevated him off of injured reserve, and then he didn't practice on that Friday prior to, what was it, the Steelers game? May have been the week prior. And
yeah.
And all of
something
a sudden
happened.
He hasn't practiced since because he's been on the injury report since they've elevated him to the active roster last week. So
yeah, they wouldn't have opened the three-week window if this is what they anticipated. Obviously, they would have waited longer if he had more rehabbing to do. So, you know, look, they're not going to tell us there was a setback, but it's an obvious conclusion that there was a setback because you put a guy, you take a guy off of IR, you activate the three-week, you're not technically taking him off IR.
Right.
You change his status from on IR to in the three-week window, after which you have to make a decision on him. Well, you want, clearly, after those 3 weeks to be activating him, unless it's a real tested-out situation where if he's not good to go, then you're putting him back on IR and shelving him. They never had an intention of shelving him. That was not in the realm of possibility. Something happened, clearly, and now he's a week-to-week proposition. Not even a week-to-week proposition. Now there's a new timeline for him, if you will. And he's not at the beginning of the return in terms of getting in a practice week, which obviously he'll need before he's going to play again. And plenty of guys, you know, some of these guys on the list who haven't practiced are going to play. Adoree Jackson's not going to be one of them, but because he hasn't played and because he hasn't practiced, it's completely different going from zero coming in from cold, right? Roger Saffold or Ben Jones or Jadeveon Clowney, you know, they can play having not practiced because they've been playing. Adoree Jackson needs some work before he's ready to play. it'd be a massive surprise, I'm sure you'd agree, if he all of a sudden was active on Sunday after not having done any practicing. So
I agree.
That now we're to next Wednesday, and can he go next Wednesday?
But if he goes next Wednesday, is there a gradual build practice-wise? That we don't know. And if there is, can he jump in and play against Indy? Or are we, because we haven't seen him on the practice field, and, you know, with practicing, you know, practice mattering, are we likely looking at the Cleveland game as the earliest? I don't know. But, I mean, we're open to speculation because they won't tell us anything.
I would hope that there's a chance, you know, I'm going to continue to look at it this way. Wednesday's a key day every week.
Sure.
You know,
especially for him.
If he's even limited on a Wednesday, then you say, well, then Thursday's got a chance to do a little bit more, depending on how he feels Thursday morning. You know, so you want to see him practice some on Wednesday, then you want to hope he wakes up feeling good on Thursday morning. If those two things happen, then he's got a chance on Sunday, even if it's in a limited role. You know, and then I'd say, hey, you know, maybe you could bring him on in nickel and he could play outside, you know, maybe replace Borders outside while King is inside. I don't know. But, you know, clock's ticking. They could say still, you know, we keep talking about it's getting late, and it is getting late. But if you get him for the last month, if you get him for the last three games, if you get him for anything, you know, at this point, it's kind of gravy. If you get in the playoffs and you got him for the playoffs, you know, I would think he's going to show up by the last month. But you never know. I mean, the IR flexibility this year gave them that. It's not about that. It's about the setback that he suffered since he's returned, and we don't know the seriousness of that.
Couple of key factors, and I alluded to this briefly yesterday for the Titans defense. We're going to get Dean Pease's take on defending Lamar Jackson this year compared to what he did as a scheme and as a defense in that playoff win back in January. But I mentioned the first down offense for Baltimore not being all that great, you know, not allowing those, you know, positive yards on first down for Lamar Jackson in the run game, where they have not been able to get much going. They average 4.5 yards per play and 12 big plays on first down. If you take out their big wins early in the season, which those still count, but it didn't boost the numbers up to, it's misleading to what they've done recently. And recently they're dead last in yardage gain on first down. But the key with that is, can they force some three and outs? Can the defense force some three and outs and give the football back to the offense, which has been really bad with three and outs? We detailed that during the week as well. But the three and outs is an area where the Titans, you know, they have struggled. They forced only 10 three and outs since week two. But Baltimore has gone three and out on 20% of their drives. So can the Titans quickly get off the field against a Baltimore Ravens offense that can hit some chunk plays on the ground? Can they defend the run? And do it? Keep in mind, I'll mention this with Coach Pease coming up in about 7 minutes after we get through discussing whether or not he wants to return as a coach, is, you know, Kamale Correa had a lot of motivation last year in the playoff game against his former team, but David Long also stepped up big. But what I forgot to mention earlier in the week was Jayon Brown was out due to injury, and Jayon Brown can do what David Long does, which is use your speed to track down the ball and go get the ball carrier. This is a big week for Jayon Brown. We've talked a lot about Rashawn Evans this week. Jayon could be the key to their defensive success.
Well, here's my question about Jayon Brown, and this is in Blake Bedingfield's piece this week that's up today at paulkuharski.com. You're kind of in a between thing with Jayon Brown. Do you want him spying on Lamar Jackson, or do you want him covering Andrews? And those are the two things that really hurt you, right? You got the quarterback who needs to be contained, and you've got the tight end who's a big problem and the number one weapon, really, in a lot of ways. So if Jayon's going forward to cover, to spy on the quarterback, who's covering that tight end? And then if it's one of the safeties, they've been helping out the corners. And so you're picking your poison to a degree here. I'm curious what Dean Pease thinks about that.
Headline in the paper this morning, Dean Pease sounds like he wants to return to coaching. We'll discuss that with Coach Pease and get our Dean of Defense's take on defending Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens next. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. It is the Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Glad you're with us on this wonderful Friday. And always it's always great to be joined by Dean Pease, our Dean of Defense. Coach Dean Pease joins us every Friday morning, presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. You can swim, work out, wear makeup the next day with Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Dr. Rolando Toyos, Nashville's top doc for LASIK and smile, online at toyosclinic.com. Coach, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. How are you guys all doing?
We are well. I believe it was prior to the Pittsburgh game. We were broadcasting live from the Titans locker room team store, and Paul asked you if you missed coaching. You said yes, absolutely. And Paul, I believe at the time you told Coach Pease, this won't be the last time that fans are clamoring to have you back as the coordinator. And then we read the article this morning in the Tennessean that you certainly miss it and you wouldn't rule anything out. Have you heard from the Titans at all throughout this season?
No. What I've heard from the Titans is I talked to Mike and John and all the coaches, but it's always in a text, and it's always I congratulate them on a win. And the day before, usually, or the day of, I always text a lot of them and say good luck. And that's it. And that's what it's been, and that's what I wanted it to be, and so that's kind of what it's been.
And we had mentioned earlier in the show that you had told us this, but we wanted to readdress it just because of the piece, where it's clear you miss coaching, and I think going to that game, was it the Chicago game? Going to the game made you miss it even more, didn't it?
It probably did, yeah. And so I mean I know about the article and. But I think it's in some ways it's a little misleading in the fact that yes, I miss it. I miss the guys. I miss the players. I miss the coaches. I love the organization. I've loved all the organizations I've been with. So I guess that also is part of it because I've been so lucky to be with so many great organizations. And yeah, I do. I truly miss it. But that doesn't mean that I am coming back. My wife doesn't believe me ever. So I'm finally to the point where I'm going to say, all right, I'll never say never, you know, and so I would never rule out something that might happen. I don't know what that would even be, Jonathan. I don't really know. I just would say for me to say, because that's what always happens. Coaches always say never. And then about 3 days later, they do whatever they just got done saying never. And so I'm just now saying I'd never say never, but you know, she doesn't believe me when I do say that I'm not going back. So I just said, okay, well, I'm just from now on, I'm going to say I'm not planning on it, but I would never rule anything out. That's the truth of it.
Well, and Coach, you have the ability to be very picky. If you do decide to get back, not saying that you're definitely going to get back into coaching, but if you make that decision, you can be very picky about where you go and who you coach with and what you do. What is a good scenario for you? If the opportunity arose, is there anything that you see and think, not necessarily a specific place, but a situation where you know people, you're familiar with them, you're comfortable with them, whatever it may be, is there a perfect scenario for you?
I don't know, Chad. I don't know. I wouldn't know until it actually happened. But you got one part right. It would have to be people that I know and that I'm very, very comfortable with, because that's why else would I do it? And so but I don't know what that scenario is. I don't know what city it would be. I don't know what team it would be. I don't know what organization it would be. I don't even know, you know, if there's any of them that I would really pick, because there'd have to be so many combinations. I don't know. I know, you know, you think I'm avoiding the question, but I'm really not. I'm just saying I do not know what that scenario would be. I don't know. As of right now, I'm retired. When I get done with this program, I'm going to play golf. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking of next.
Coach Dean Pease with us, presented by Toyo's Clinic. I'm curious from this perspective. Not when the team left Baltimore last year, the talk nationally was there's the blueprint for how to defeat that offense, the dynamic quarterback and Lamar Jackson on the ground. Not everyone has the same personnel or skill set defensively. But when you've watched the Ravens this year and you've watched opposing defenses go up against Jackson and that offensive front, how often are you watching and you see something that you did or that your defense did last year and you think to yourself, you know what, they picked that up from the playoff game?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that I did it. I'd say we did it. Because it's always a team effort, whether the whole coaching staff, whether it be and Mike, defensive staff, and the players then executing. Everybody, whenever anybody beats a top-notch team, that's the blueprint. That's what everybody says. That's the blueprint. And then you think that the next team isn't going to try to use some of that stuff? They are. The NFL is a copycat league, offensively and defensively. If we think something works and we can use it in our scheme, we're going to do it. So I think, yeah, there's been some times I've watched the Ravens play on TV and saw some things, saw some the other night in the New England game that looked similar to things that we did. I don't know if they were. I have no idea where Bill got them, may have thought of them himself. But I'm just saying, yeah, everybody's going to copy, not totally, but copy that. We did it all the time. If we knew somebody was beating somebody with a certain pressure, we would look at our pressure and say, what can we do to be almost like that, to pick on that guy or that protection? Everybody does it. So I always kind of, this copycat, that's a blueprint. Everybody's got to use their own blueprint to beat everybody every week.
Let's get into the keys for the Titans defense this week against Baltimore. Pivotal matchup for both teams. And from the defensive perspective, you certainly know how to go against this Ravens offense right now. And it starts with number eight. Key number one for Dean Pease this week for the Titans defense is number eight, containing and controlling Lamar Jackson. Now, that's easier said than done. But you say forget the yardage and make him earn the points. Will you take us a layer or two deeper on that?
All right. Here's what I'm talking about with that. Yeah, to me right now, their offense is not quite like it was last year. I think there's some other things. And he is a bigger part. And I think with Boyle being out now, he may even be a bigger part of the offense in running the ball. And you might even see different formations because Boyle was the guy, the tight end that always did the motions, the lead blocking, the stuff on the perimeter. He's not there. It'd be hard to teach a guy how to do that. Patrick Ricard is not that type of guy. He's a big old fullback, 300 and some pounds, who was a defensive lineman for us. And he's a different style guy. Andrews doesn't want to do that stuff. He's a receiving tight end. So I think Lamar could be even a bigger factor in the running game. Here's the thing that we talked about last year. In playing Lamar, you want to capture him, not try and kill him. And what I mean by that is sometimes it may behoove you to give up a couple of yards to get him tackled than it is to try to go take a shot and really try to hit him or, put a big hit on him. Last year, we gave up one big run to him, and we actually had a spy on him. And what happened was the spy committed when he was back there in the pocket kind of running around. The spy committed to go to one side to get him, and he went out the other side. If he had stayed at home, yes, we would have given up five more yards, but we wouldn't have given up 25 more yards. So it's like, you're better off sometimes giving up a few yards with him and the clock's still running and use the sidelines, push the ball outside, but you're better off doing that than you are, I'm going to go hit him, and then he's going to make you miss now. He's going to make you miss. Just capturing. That's what we kind of used the words last year in tackling him, is just capture him.
Coach, clearly a year ago you had the personnel on defense to execute key number one in that game plan with Lamar Jackson. When you look at this current Titans team and you've been watching these games, do they currently possess the personnel to be able to execute key number one in this defensive plan?
Yes. Yes. Because if you really look, I know other than Kamalay Correa outside, you will be okay. You got Landry out there. We got, we're actually bigger, probably inside, maybe better. I don't want to, you know, put anybody down, but I mean, Jeff Simmons is pretty daggone good. And so, you know, and you got the same two inside backers. You got Rashawn. You actually got Brown back. So I know David Long played a great game in that game, but you know, those guys are the same guy. You know, they can run, they can hit, they can do all that stuff. Secondary wise, you know, I really like the addition there at nickel, King. You know, I know Logan's kind of out, but I think we got enough speed and to do those kinds of things that we can still do what we did last year. I know, you know, they're going to be obviously ready for some of that scheme stuff and expect it. And I know Mike and Shane and the defensive staff will have a plan ready for that. But yeah, I do. I think we're good enough personnel that we can get after these guys. And I think they're missing two key guys on their offensive line. And last year they had Marshall Yanda. They don't have him back. And Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle, is gone. And then I'm telling you, Boyle is a big loss for them. He is. He's a good perimeter blocker. He also brings an element of toughness to their offense. He's a tough guy. He's a grit guy. And sometimes when you lose those guys, you lose a little bit of personality.
Jackson's comfort zone is thrown between the hash marks and not necessarily the perimeter. I know that's your number two key here, is kind of pack the paint. How do you force him to throw outside, and how much do you benefit if he looks outside?
Well, I tell you what, that is pack the paint. It's like an old basketball term, you know, make them shoot three-pointers or whatever. Here's the thing is, here was the other thing that we kind of, when we said that slogan last year, we said, make the game be played outside the numbers. Okay, if you make him run sideline to sideline, he's not going north and south. Make him run east and west, use the sideline as your 12th defender in a run game. Well, it's kind of the same thing. Make the ball be thrown outside. Make him be a quarterback, throw from the pocket. For all quarterbacks, it's obviously harder to throw a 15-yard comeback than it is a 15-yard dig over the middle. It just is for all quarterbacks. Well, for a guy that's really not a true, in my opinion, just true passing quarterback, it's going to be even harder. The ball will sail on him a little bit. So make that ball be thrown outside. The other thing, Paul, is we really stressed last year is have patience. We told everybody, we told all the DBs, look, they throw a 15-yard comeback on you, we are not going to be on you about it. They don't have enough patience to keep doing it. Just don't let the ball be thrown over your head, and don't let the ball be thrown down the middle. If you remember last year, the only big play pass that we had was the seam route right before the half in kind of inside in the middle of the field, inside the numbers. And, you know, I wasn't real happy about it, but it's those two plays, that one and the one with the quarterback running, those were the only two big plays we gave up, and therefore we gave up 12 points. So just make the ball be thrown outside. It may be the way you play leverage. There may be a certain way that you play coverage. I think the other thing is, too, is he's not a big guy on reading a bunch of different, you know, combinations. He kind of knows if he's got cover two, middle of the field's open. If I got cover three, the seams are open. The more you can kind of disguise those things, which I know we will do and can do very well, then I think the better it's going to be.
That seam route nearly had you jumping out of the press box, didn't it?
I did, because we had played just so well, and we kind of knew they were going to take a shot, and it's one of those things that I just felt like we hesitated just a little bit, or we could have knocked the ball down. And when it was thrown, I actually thought this thing's going to be picked, and then it wasn't. And so, yeah, I wasn't real happy at halftime, because we had played just lights out, and I thought, I don't want to give them any momentum going in there at halftime. And I don't know, did they end up getting a field goal out of it? I think we did hold them, right?
I believe that's right, yeah. Coach Dean Pease with us, presented by ToyosClinic.com. His three keys, number eight is number one. Pack the paint and identify and adjust to the big plays. Don't give up the bailout play. And he mentioned the seam play, for instance. New England really shortened this game last week, Coach, and that first quarter flew by, which is advantage whoever's playing against the Baltimore offense, right?
Right. Yeah, that game was, well, New England did just a great job of running the ball and getting first downs and making it third and short and then quarterback sneak or whatever and getting the first down and staying on the field. I mean, I know it was sloppy weather too, but it was sloppy weather for both teams. It's never ever for just one team. It's for both teams. So they did a great job. That first quarter just flew by. And I think once, you know, once if you can get up on these guys by a couple scores, and if you make them become a passing team, then that's what you're looking for. Because their real threat is running the ball. They got good running backs. I think the offensive line's okay. I don't think it's the best offensive line. It's certainly not as good as the Colts offensive line that we faced last week. And the running backs are good. They got good skill positions. As long as they don't get the ball over our head, they don't really scare me with that. I think you just got to be careful with Andrews, especially around the red zone. He's their favorite target. He's his comfort zone. But, you know, if you can shorten the game, the fewer opportunities Lamar has, the fewer opportunities. It's just like teams playing us on offense. The fewer times our offense gets the ball, the better off you're going to be.
How much does the speed at wide receiver concern you with this Ravens group?
Not any more than what it has with other teams. I thought the Bengals had excellent wide receivers. I thought Pittsburgh had good speed. They're not real big guys. I think there's one guy that's pretty good size. I can't remember offhand. Boykin. Boykin's a big guy. But they're not big body up guys. It's a pretty controlled passing game. Again, I don't think as long as we stay on top of them, I think the wide receiving core doesn't scare me as much as like Cincinnati's did or, you know, those guys.
How do you sort through maybe how best to use Jayon in a game like this? You didn't have him in the playoff game. David Long showed up big for you. But if you're spying on Jackson and you're worried about Andrews, he would seem like the best candidate for both of those jobs. So how do you decide which job to give him?
Well, I think you got to change it up, Paul. I think you got to keep Greg Roman and Lamar guessing all the time on who you are using. And I think there's going to be some times that you're going to want to put Jayon on Andrews and try to be physical with him at the line. I think there's going to be times you're going to want to drop the safety down on him from high and, you know, have him be playing that way and make Lamar figure it out. But I will know this. If you're going to spy Lamar, there's no sense spying him with a guy that can't run. You know, I've seen teams put defensive linemen as a spy. That's a waste of time. I mean, he can't catch him even if he is spying. Even if he does everything right, he's not going to get him. So they're going to spy him with somebody on speed, with speed. But, I mean, I think there's sometimes there, you know, the other thing is sometimes that's one of the things they do with Andrews. They like to flex him out because so the defensive lineman, like a Harold, can't knock him around at the line of scrimmage to help. They're going to flex him out so that that can't happen. So the problem of it is if you move Jayon out there, then you've told everybody what you're doing. So there's going to be some things that they're going to have to do disguise-wise and just keep changing it up all the time on Lamar on who's got who.
Speaking of Harold, he said yesterday you can't get bored with your assignment, which I've been rolling around in my head trying to interpret. I'm wondering if that means like, hey, you just can't look somewhere else here thinking about all the things that can happen with this offense. You got to stay true to what you're supposed to do. How do you interpret that?
I would interpret it very similar to what you say. This to me is like when you play option football in college, you have a job to do. You have a assigned responsibility, whether you have the dive, the quarterback, the pitch, whatever it is, and you have to play assignment football. That's what you're doing with this group. It's essentially in some ways it's like option football. You got to do your job. You start trying to veer inside or do something that the scheme's not actually asking you to do, he's going to take advantage of it. Now you're opening up another seam. Okay, the guy back behind, the safety, he's playing, if you're supposed to be in the C-gap, then he's playing the D-gap. And if all of a sudden you jump in the D-gap and he's in the D-gap, the C-gap's open. I think that's what Harold's talking about is that do your job. Mike says that over and over and over again to all the guys on offense and defense and special teams. Just do your job and the stuff will work. This is not a week to start try to freelance or think, okay, well, this I'm going to guess this is a pass play and I'm going to run up the field. And then that's going to leave a seam open on defense. You got to do your responsibility based on what the defense is called. And I think that was, that's probably what Harold's alluding to.
Because of the GM and coaching connections and the player connections with both organizations, we have talked a lot with you about the Patriots, but and Belichick. When you look back on your time, your eight seasons in Baltimore as the defensive coordinator, what comes to mind? What memories pop up with you and Harbaugh and you and Newsom?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just that whole organization. For Mr. Bisciotti, you know, Ozzie was just great. And what a thrill to be working for a guy that's a legend like him. But John, you know, John was a former player of mine in college. And so it's just like Mike was a former player of mine in the NFL. What a unique situation as a coach to be able to actually coach and work for two guys that are former players. So we had a great bond, a great relationship. I loved it at Baltimore. I really did. I loved the players. I loved the organization, loved the coaching staff. You know, we won a lot. That was a lot of fun too. But I mean, being around Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all those guys, but other guys too. I can name just hundreds of them. And so it's just, I really, really enjoyed myself. It was just a great organization to work for. And like I say, it's just a special relationship between John and I, him having been a former player. I was his position coach and his coordinator in college. And, you know, I just can't, I don't have enough good things to say about him except on the day that we play him.
Paul, do you think that he has squashed all the talk about returning as the Titans defensive coordinator by his comments today?
Probably not, because people will see the definitely not. People are going to see the headline and pass that around independently of what you said to us. You said it was a bit misleading, Dean. So maybe you want to just touch on that a little bit more. Well, as it catches fire and goes around.
The only thing this felt a little funny about is it makes it sound like I want to, you know, that I'm really pushing to come back to the Tennessee Titans. I'm not. They're doing fine. They're 6-3. They win this game and the Colts lose. They're back in the lead again. I mean, this right now, there's a cluster of everybody in there. Everybody's fighting for their life right now. They're playing well. I know people were talking about certain things. Just quit. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about they're playing. They've had a bunch of injuries. We lost a couple of key guys, actually, that probably were good communicators that helped, you know, in some way. I don't know. I am not over there. I'm not privy to a lot of things. It's a tough year, the COVID thing. But, you know, I'm not looking to come back to the Titans. They're not looking to have me come back to the Titans. So that's really not. I thought the article was misleading in that way that it looked like, okay, maybe I was trying to get back. I'm not. I'm just saying I miss it, and I would never say it's out of the realm of possibility that I wouldn't return to football, period.
Your passion for the sport, I mean, we can tell you miss it. And it's odd. I mean, you spent how many years doing this? 30-plus? 47, but 30 in the league, right? Like,
well, 20 in the league, basically.
So, of course you would miss it. Like, I totally get that part of it. And especially this year in a COVID year where I know you had a lot of plans with Mel to do some traveling and some other things, you know, Ohio and high school football. Everybody's been sitting at home stir crazy. So I get that aspect of it too.
I think that's true, Jonathan. I think, you know, I said that yesterday when I got the interview from the Tennessean that, look, I think part of it is the fact that, you know, we had planned on taking off in April and going to see the country, maybe even going out of the country, doing all these things that we planned, and all of a sudden nothing happened. So all of a sudden here I am sitting around all the time. I really appreciate you guys having me on this show. I really do. This has been a blessing.
Yeah.
It has been a blessing for me. So, but all of a sudden, I mean, I like golf, but I'm not a golfer.
Hey, what's a good round? What's a good round for you?
Not like the guy before you, LeBeau.
The guys I play with can probably attest to that. So I like that, but that's not, I'm a football coach, and all of a sudden I've missed it maybe more because I'm just sitting around all the time watching it going, geez, I wished I was there at that game. Or then when I did go to the game, I'm going, kind of wished I hadn't come to the game because now it made me miss it even more.
See, I measure my golf round by how many good shots I hit, not my score. What's a good round for you today as you leave the show and go tee off on the first hole?
Oh, I would like to shoot 80.
Oh, then that's okay. So. What's the norm for you? If you can, if you'd like to shoot 80, you want to be where?
Well, I somewhere in between 80 and 85. If I shoot under 80, I'm real happy. But if I shoot over 85, I'm really not very happy.
Somebody's telling us they were next to you at the range the other day, and you were striping it. So. Got a good review from the peanut gallery. But
the thing about the range is you can't really tell how far the ball goes.
Right.
I don't know, of course, it's a lot different because they actually have things out there that measure your drive. And I always think it looks like a good drive until I go out on the course and then I'm going, I'm still 180 yards out. I guess I didn't hit this thing as far as I thought I did.
My problem is no matter what club I use, I hit it about 150 yards every club.
Yeah, same here.
Well, then use the same club all the time.
That's right. Yeah, just use the putter all the time.
Save some money hunting on some clubs.
That's right. Hey, coach.
I don't even need to carry a bag.
Appreciate
the good thing is I'm not playing from the senior tees. I'm telling you that. Even though I could, I'm not playing from the senior tees.
The refusal.
Great visit. We appreciate you.
Thank you, coach. Hey.
Thanks so much, coach.
Enjoy the game. Coach Dean Pease has been our guest, our Dean of Defense, presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom of glasses and contacts. Swim, work out, wear makeup the next day with Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Online at toyosclinic.com. Paul?
Sorry, I was asking Dean to hang out for a second because I want to ask him a question off the air.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. If you missed a portion of the Dean Pease chat there, we will replay that coming up at noon today, a portion of it with some key highlights of his discussion about how he misses the game, but he has not been in contact with the Titans, and he's not lobbying to get the job. We will detail that again. That's coming up at noon. At 11 this morning, the VolQuest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. And right now we say hello to Davey Shepherd, Speedway Soccer. And, of course, all of the programming here on The Zone for Nashville SC that you hear with both Davey and Will Bowling. And you can get on the podcast page. And a pretty big game tonight. Playoff matchup. Davey Shepherd joins us as Nashville SC takes on Inter-Miami tonight. Davey, how you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. So this is a playoff game, right? Or is this they play in to get to the postseason?
It's a playoff game. For all intents and purposes, sure, call it a play and whatever you want. But for the Eastern Conference, it's overloaded this year just after COVID-19. So more teams in the East, so more teams got in.
Right.
Now it'll just get reseeded after these two matches.
So, Davey, is it safe to assume that this team in year one exceeded your expectations as to what you thought this team could be going into a postseason, even if there was going to be postseason for this team? And if so, by how much?
You know, I was actually thinking about this question myself yesterday. I listened to the bit that I did with you guys before the season, and I said that I thought the team would be competitive. I thought that they would be in the fight for a playoff spot come end of the season. Now, obviously, back then in February, we had no idea what the year was going to look like. That being said, I think they have exceeded expectations. They secured a playoff spot with five games to go. It looks like they should be favored to win against Inter-Miami tonight, who's going to be without some key players because of COVID-19. I thought they should have been favored either way. They're the 7th seed. Miami's the 10th seed. And I think they've got a real chance just the style this team plays to win a playoff game beyond that. So I think they're in a really good spot. I think they did exceed expectations.
Walker Zimmerman, Defensive Player of the Year for the league. I know he had a great year. Was that a close ballot? Did he have a lot of competition there, or was it pretty clear that he was the finest defender in the league this year?
Yeah, so when it came down to how the actual votes tallied up, it was pretty close. He actually lost the player vote, but then one with coaches and one in media. So I think he ended up winning the vote percentage by like 3 or 4 points, but it was closer than I expected it to be. I think when you look at the goals he added to this team, he's the second highest goal scorer on the team with 3 goals, and then just absolutely rock solid defender. To me, the sign of how good of a player Walker Zimmerman is isn't necessarily what he's done for Nashville, but if you look at what's happened in L.A. since he left, they go from taking like an average of 2 points a game and giving up just over one goal a game to giving up almost a goal and a half a game without him in the lineup. So he's just an absolute stalwart for this team. Well-deserved award.
Davey, how does it feel whenever Will Bowling sends out a tweet about your show but doesn't include you in the tweet?
Just this guy, man. The show's my idea. I bring it to Will, and then it's just the kids these days. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
You can't do much with them.
I mean, he's not awake to hear this criticism right now.
He's not going
to
hear this. Yeah, you'll have to replay this at 12:58.
Look, Davey, I mean, you give him a great opportunity with this show. We give him an internship. I help make sure that he's doing a Friday night game of the week. Yeah, we're creating a monster here with this Will Bowling. It really is amazing, the ego of this kid as he continues to climb and climb. And people that tweet him, hey, great job on this and that, really feeding into that monster that we've created with Will Bowling. The guy's going to be Jim Nantz soon. He's going to have a self-portrait.
He's headed that way.
In his downtown apartment.
I think Will hired V-Love as his official hype man on
Twitter. There you go.
V-Love pumps him nonstop, which that's a good guy to have in your corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very good.
If you haven't heard the podcast, be sure to check that out at the podcast page at 1045thezone.com. Will and Davey do a great job with that. Davey, help me with this. So the players that are missing tonight for Inter-Miami, losses, the guys who are out with COVID-19, how does this affect the overall matchup?
Very, very big losses. So Gonzalo Higuain, longtime Juventus player, played for Chelsea, kind of played everywhere. Argentina started for Argentina in the World Cup final. He's out. He's the highest paid player in MLS. He is out. His brother is also out. And then Perez, one of their center backs, is going to be out as well, which is notable because their other starting center back already misses because of a red card. So their back four is going to be a right back playing at center back and then three other players who aren't normally in the lineup. So it's going to be really, really interesting for them defensively. And then when you lose a forward like Higuain, I don't think he's lit the league up. I think he was actually somewhat of an overpay. I just don't think he's done enough. But that guy can get the right ball and score at any given moment, and you lose that ability. So, like I said, I had already picked Nashville to win. I still picked them to win. I think it actually isn't even going to be that close now. I think this sets up well for a team. The big story for Nashville, it looks like they'll have their first choice 11 with all three DPs in the lineup for the first time all season long. So Cadiz, Mukhtar, Leal, all in the lineup tonight, first choice 11. And you hope a week in Miami side, you can go out there, gel, and really get your feet underneath of you for this playoff run after a 2-week break because of the international break.
When Higuain's brother is out, it puts a whole nother layer of meaning on, hey, brother, hey, sister.
It's big time. Let me do the goodbye to Davey Shepherd here. Star of all of our Nashville Soccer Club coverage here on 104.5 The Zone. Not Will Bowling, but Davey Shepherd.
Supplemented by Will Bowling.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it, Nashville Soccer Show. On behalf of me and Will Bowling.
Where Will Bowling will not give Davey credit, we will on this show. So thank you, Davey, for joining us.
Take it easy, boys. Thank you.
All right, Davey Shepherd.
I think
there.
Will Bowling just rolled over.
Yeah. Well, he'll again check out the podcast for the game preview with Will and Davey and Nashville SC in the postseason tonight, Nissan Stadium against Inter Miami. The Vols, I mean, crazy enough, they could make the postseason.
They will have the opportunity to play in the postseason.
Chad's going to that bowl game.
Chad's going to
the bowl game.
Their work is done. Those two wins to start the season, they are bowl eligible with the new NCAA rules, and I'd be shocked if some bowl doesn't invite them either way.
So a lot to discuss today in the Ball Quest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. We'll start with Philip Fulmer from two various angles here. First, he gets the contract extension that's officially announced and reported this week. Also, today he announces he has COVID-19, asymptomatic, and he hasn't been around players or football staff members, athletic staff, but we'll get the latest from the VolQuest guys that coming up, plus a full game preview. What to expect? Who's at quarterback? How many quarterbacks do they play? Who should start? We'll get into all that and more coming up with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.